This is episode 707 of the AWS podcast, released on February 10th, 2025.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another update show with AWS podcast. My name is Shruti. I will be one of your hosts for today. And joining me is Jillian. Hey there, Jillian.
Hello, Shruti. So excited to be here today.
I know, we have some exciting updates, and with our new format, Top Stories, let's get started with some fun ones. So to kick off today's show, we have exciting news about DeepSeek, the new large language model that everyone is talking about in the industry. And we've always said, you know, from the very beginning, Amazon has always said that choice matters. It gives customers the flexibility they need to choose the LLM that's right for them. And so now these DeepSeek R1 models are available for deployment in Amazon Bedrock and Amazon SageMaker. And if you really want, you can also get started on Amazon EC2 using our AWS AI chips, Trainium and Inferentia. Now, these models have a few different flavors. There's DeepSeek R1, which is the main model, so to speak, or it has 671 billion parameters. And then there's DeepSeek R1.0, which also has the same amount of parameters. These are, you know, two giant whopping models. But then we also have DeepSeek R1 Distill, which are smaller models, which are distilled versions of the larger ones, which range anywhere from 1.5 to 70 billion parameters. And so it's really exciting to be able to have all of these available on AWS and in a few different ways. Jillian, like, what are some of the benefits of, you know, having these models available on AWS?
I think it really goes back to that choice, right? Like, if you're looking at Bedrock, for example, there's so many already different models that are available. And now you've got DeepSeek as another one where you can be able to easily within one UI compare the different outputs, be able to have additional features such as guardrails, the security features as well that come with using Bedrock. And then, of course, if you want to go on the other side, I love that when we were talking about SageMaker as well, where you can customize it really if you have additional requirements that you're currently not able to do, if you need that customization.
Yeah. And I mean, it's reported to be 90 to 95% more cost effective than comparable models. And so again, it all depends on what your application and use case is, but it's something to try out for sure. Guardrails for sure, for that added layer of security, yes, is really interesting. And so within Amazon Bedrock, there's actually two ways that you can get started. There is Amazon Bedrock Marketplace, where these models are available. Or for the distilled versions, you could also do Amazon Bedrock custom model import. So combining all these approaches that we talked about, Jillian, is like, you could get started in SageMaker, customize it, and then pull it into Bedrock to then avail of all the added functionality such as guardrails and so on. So that's really exciting. So that's Amazon Bedrock. I kind of inadvertently already talked about SageMaker Jumpstart, which is where you can also take the model and start playing with it, fine-tune it, customize it as you need. And then, as I mentioned, if you really want a lot of control on your infrastructure and just want to do it your own way, you can also get started on Amazon EC2, either using our GPU-based instances, but our AWS AI chips, Trainium and Inferentia, also support these models out the gate. And, you know, all of these options are supported both via API as well as console-based deployment. And they integrate really well with existing AWS services and tools. So who are these sort of models ideal for? Like, who should be looking at this?
Yeah, there's a lot of different types of people. I definitely see teams that want like quick API-based integration, maybe with those pre-trained foundation models. There could be some organizations that maybe need advanced customizations, and that's where the SageMaker, or you need like just on straight up EC2 instances. Of course, on Bedrock, you've got the enterprise customers that are really looking for that added layer of security that comes built in, and the scalability as well. And of course, cost conscious, which who isn't these days, right? Everyone's always looking to make things that are just as cost optimized as possible.
Absolutely. Yeah. So again, you know, this is our commitment to providing a diverse set of models, both in terms of helping you achieve your budget and cost efficiency goals, but also just your accuracy and performance goals while maintaining the enterprise-grade security and scalability. So that is DeepSeek on AWS. The next top story we have is S3 metadata. Jillian, what can you tell us about this?
This one's really cool. I mean, it automatically extracts and manages rich metadata for objects that are already uploaded into an S3 bucket. So why would you want to do this? Well, it makes it really easy to discover and query your data that's in there. The metadata tables that are stored in Amazon S3 tables, they're going to be storage optimized for tabular data. So it then makes it's going to be the... makes it much faster for analytics. So use case would be like, maybe you've got AI model training, maybe you have real-time inference, there could be business analytics. Those are some common use cases. And of course, if you're a lot of customers are looking for Iceberg compatible tools, and so that's definitely supported as well.
Right. And so with this sort of, you know, rich metadata, there's some key benefits. First is the simplified data discovery because of the fact that you have this metadata. There's reduced time and effort for data preparation. You don't need, you know, complex external custom metadata management systems. It now comes built in with S3. And with that, you also get better data governance and lineage tracking because you're tracking the metadata for all of these sort of S3 buckets. And then it becomes much more queryable using a wide range of tools. Not to mention performance also obviously improves because of all this. So real-time updates become much, much more easier. And as you mentioned, some of these like faster workloads that have requirements that are the very stringent, like AI model training or real-time inference, or you know, just faster analytics, becomes much, much easier. Okay, who should be looking at this?
There's a number of different types of organizations outside. Definitely the large scale, like you've got millions, billions, trillions of objects, which I'm sure there's some people who are out there that do. Tell us, data science, engineering teams, let's say there's companies, which a lot of companies these days have got multimodal data, another fancy word for saying you've got text, images, video, audio, so data of different types. Enterprise customers, so those that want to be able to discover their data really easily. It's so much data in S3, it can be feel maybe overwhelming to discover it. Of course, AI ML pipelines, there's already some customers that are using it, these types of scale, Roche, SmugMug, PayPal,
that's
pretty
awesome.
Cool stuff. Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, we are very customer obsessed, and so it's good to know that this sort of, new launch is already helping customers. All right. Well, now that we have covered our top stories, we are going to get into the top headlines and cover the rest of the update show.
Awesome. So, of course, we're going to start off with the marketplace. The AWS Marketplace adds self-service seller onboarding support for demo and private offer requests. The AWS Marketplace also announces the availability of automated archival of old, unused product versions that are no longer available publicly for subscription. This feature is available for Amazon Machine Images with CloudFormation templates and container products. And the AWS Marketplace introduces 8 decimal place precision for usage pricing.
Next up, we have a few updates under analytics. Amazon Redshift launches enhanced query monitoring to improve query monitoring and diagnostics. This enables you to efficiently identify and isolate performance bottlenecks. Amazon Redshift announces enhanced default security configurations for new warehouses. These changes include disabling public accessibility, enabling database encryption, and enforcing secure connections by default when creating a new data warehouse. Amazon Redshift announces support for history mode for zero ETL integrations. Amazon Redshift introduces new SQL features for zero ETL integrations. Amazon EMR serverless adds support for public subnets.
Next up is application integration. Amazon SNS now supports high throughput mode for SNS FIFO topics, with default throughput matching SNS standard topics across all regions. When you enable high throughput mode, SNS FIFO topics will maintain order within message group while reducing the deduplication scope to the message group level. So with this change, you can leverage up to 30,000 messages per second per account by default in the US East 1 region and 9K messages per second in the US West 2 Oregon region and Europe Ireland region. Amazon EventBridge now allows you to deliver events directly to AWS services in another account. This feature enables you to use multiple accounts to improve security and streamline business processes while reducing the overall cost and complexity of your architecture. I definitely love this, especially for all the huge fans out there of event-driven architectures. I think this one of being able to implement best practices, doing so when you're managing multiple accounts, is a really good one to bookmark.
Excellent. All right, moving on to our updates under artificial intelligence. In addition to what we just covered earlier, in the episode, DeepSeek, Amazon Bedrock now offers multimodal support for Cohere Embed 3 multilingual and Embed 3 English foundation models that generate embeddings from both text and images. This addition can enable enterprises to unlock significant value from the vast amounts of data, including visual content. So just as Jillian mentioned, multimodal is basically a different term for different types of data, different modalities of data. And now Bedrock offers multimodal support with Cohere Embed 3 multilingual, as well as the Embed 3 English. Amazon Bedrock flows announces preview of multi-turn conversation support. Amazon Q Business now supports insights from images uploaded in chat. That is really awesome. This will allow you to upload images directly to Amazon Q Business chat and ask questions related to the content of those images. So if you are, already using Amazon Q Business to tap into your data, get insights from your data. And let's say you have some image or a snapshot of a report or something like that. You could just upload that, ask questions, and get going. Amazon Lex expands assisted slot resolution regions and model access. Amazon Lex global resiliency now supports cloud formation and existing alias replication. AWS Health now supports Internet Protocol version 6, IPv6.
Now we've got compute. AWS now supports the zone groups for availability zones across all AWS regions, making it easier for you to differentiate groups of local zones and availability zones. Amazon EKS now offers new update strategies for managed node groups, which give you control over how Amazon EC2 instances in your clusters are updated with new configurations or for new Kubernetes versions. This feature provides flexibility to make changes to your EKS cluster nodes in a way that best suits your use case while reducing operational overhead and compute costs. Amazon EKS and Amazon EKS Distro now supports Kubernetes version 1.32. Kubernetes version 1.32 introduces several improvements, including stable support for custom resource field selectors and auto removal of persistent volume claims created by stateful sets. This release removes version 1 beta 3 API version of flow schema and priority level configuration. AWS Elastic Beanstalk improves scaling and deployment speeds for Windows instances with EC2 Fast Launch. AWS Elastic Beanstalk adds default support for EC2 launch templates when creating new environments. Next, we've got customer engagement. Amazon SES announces that Mail Manager now supports defined email addresses and domain lists, which are used as part of the Mail Manager rules engine to distinguish between known and unknown addresses. This functionality adds both the mechanisms to upload and manage email addresses and domain lists, and the rules engine controls to make routing decisions based on whether a given address in a message envelope is on such a list or not. Amazon Connect now provides daily headcount projections in capacity plan downloads, enhancing your ability to review staffing requirements with greater precision. While capacity plans already provided weekly and monthly projections, this launch allows you to access day-by-day headcount requirements for up to 64 weeks into the future. Amazon Connect Agent Workspace now supports audio optimizations for Citrix and Amazon Workspace's virtual desktops.
Next up, we have a few updates under database. Amazon TimeStream for InfluxDB now supports storage scaling. So this allows you to scale your allocated storage and change your storage tiers as needed. With storage scaling, in few simple steps, you have greater flexibility and control over your time series data processing and analysis. Amazon Aurora PostgreSQL Limitless Database now supports PostgreSQL 16.6. Amazon ElastiCache now supports one-click connectivity setup between EC2 and your cache. Amazon Neptune now supports open-source Graph Rack Toolkit. This is a new capability that enhances generative AI applications by providing more comprehensive, relevant, and explainable responses using the RAC technique combined with graph data. This toolkit provides an open source framework for automating the construction of a graph from unstructured data and composing question answering strategies that query this graph when answering user questions.
I really like this one, because I've noticed from the customers I've worked with, there's a lot of people that are both new to RAG and they're new to graph as well. So I think now having a toolkit that can just help you to be able to get faster, especially as you're learning both at the same time, it's just going to help you to be able to build out your application and provide value faster. Now let's talk about developer tools. AWS CodeBuild announces support for CodeBuild Project ARN and CodeBuild Build ARN as IAM condition keys. These two new condition keys can be used in IAM policies to restrict the ARN of the project or build that originated the request. Starting today, CodeBuild will automatically add the new CodeBuild Project ARN and CodeBuild Build ARN condition keys to the request context of all AWS API calls made within the build. You can use the condition element in your IAM policy to compare the CodeBuild Project ARN condition key in the request context with values that you specify in your policy. Anything that can help me write better IAM, I am totally in favor of, since I've had spent many hours trying to bang my head figuring out how to write the right IAM policies to do certain things. Amazon Corretto, January 2025, has a couple of updates. So Amazon announced quarterly security and critical updates for Corretto long-term supported and feature release versions of OpenJDK, Corretto 23.0.2, 21.0.6, 17.0.14, 11.0.26, 8U442 are now available for download. Wow, these folks are clearly busy. Amazon Corretto, in case you're also wondering like me what this is, it is a no-cost, multi-platform, production-ready distribution of OpenJDK. Now we're going to switch gears and talk about front-end web and mobile. AWS Amplify now enables developers to use the Amplify data client within AWS Lambda functions. This new capability allows you to leverage the same TypeScape data operations you use in your front-end applications directly in your Lambda functions, eliminating the need to write raw GraphQL queries.
We have one quick update under Internet of Things. AWS IoT Sitewise now supports null and NaN, or not a number, data of bad or uncertain data quality from industrial data sources. Sitewise is a managed service that makes it easy to collect, store, organize, and analyze data from industrial equipment at scale. And supporting these two different, you know, data types, the null and NaN, increases its capability to handle a wider range of data, improving its utility for industrial applications.
All right, management and governance. CloudWatch Database Insights now supports the analysis of historical snapshots of OS processes running on your databases, allowing you to correlate a spike in database load with OSS process metrics. Amazon CloudWatch Synthetics adds IPv6 support. Amazon CloudWatch allows alarming on data up to 7 days old. Amazon CloudWatch Observability add-on launches one-step onboarding for EKS workloads. And now we're announcing the general availability of AWS Managed Notifications, a new feature of AWS User Notifications that enhances how customers receive and manage AWS Health Notifications. This feature allows you to view and modify default health notifications in the console. And we have one more on AWS Health. AWS Health customers can now be able to use IPv6. AWS is announcing the general availability of AWS Managed Notifications in the AWS Console mobile application. AWS Resource Groups is adding support for an additional 172 resource types for tag-based resource groups. Now on to media services. AWS Elemental Media Connect now supports a set of diagnostic metrics designed to provide visibility into the quality of your video and audio streams. The new metrics detect black frames, frozen video, and audio silence, allowing you to quickly identify and address potential disruptions.
All right, next up, we have a couple of updates under migration and modernization. AWS DataSync now supports Kerberos authentication for self-managed file servers that use the Server Message Block, or SMB, network protocol. AWS Transfer Family supports custom directory locations to store AS2 files, or the Applicability Statement 2 files, including the inbound AS2 messages, message disposition notifications, and other metadata files.
Now on to networking and content delivery. AWS announces the general availability of concurrent VPN connections for AWS Client VPN.
All right. Well, that networking and content delivery was our last update for today, Jillian. How can our listeners find you?
They can find me on LinkedIn at Jillian Ford.
Awesome. And I am Shruti Koparkar on LinkedIn or also on Twitter or X. And that's it for now, everybody. Until next time, keep on building.